Okay. We have a fine-looking group of young people here today. As we've listened to the readings, we've noted that today is the feast of Christ the King. And Christ is not a king in the model of an earthly king. We see in the gospel today, Jesus on the cross. That was his throne. But even from that place, he was dispensing love and mercy and compassion. Jesus was showing us a different way. And you young people who are asking to be confirmed have been called by name by Jesus. And his spirit is alive in you. And because Jesus calls us by name, I think it's important that we as a congregation know who you are and what you stand for and why this day is important to you. So I'm going to call you by name, and you're going to say in a nice loud voice, "Here I am." Jackson.
Here I am.
Justin.
Here I am.
Matthew.
Here I am.
Oscar.
Here I am.
Andres.
Here I am.
Emily.
Here I am.
Felicity.
Here I am.
Emma.
Here I am.
Stefano.
Here I am.
Gabriella.
Here I am.
Lucas.
Here I am.
Matthew.
Here I am.
Chelsea.
Here I am.
Fine-looking group of young people and a fine witness about what it means to be part of the church. Now, we talked before about baptism as that time when you first received the Holy Spirit. When you came into the church, did you make that choice by yourself freely? Who decided for you that you should be baptized? It was your parents. And who stood by them to support them at that time? Their godparents. They said, "We want Matthew, Lucas, Andres, Felicity, we want them to know the love of God." You already belonged to a family. In being born into a family with love, you belong to a family. But they knew that they wanted you to belong to a bigger family. The family of people who are all around you today. The family of the church, of the friends of Jesus. And so they have brought you to this place where you belong. Now, if you belong to a family, what are some of the... Okay, so you belong to your families at home. Are there other communities that you belong to besides your family? Yeah, your extended family, your cousins and uncles and aunts. What about other communities you belong to? Friends? Groups of friends? Your school is a community you belong to. What else? Sports, if you belong to a team. Now, when you're part of a team or part of a group or part of a family, do you have rights? Yes. Do you have responsibilities?
Yes.
Okay. So when you were like 6 months old, did you have house chores to do?
No.
What about now? What are some of the things that you have to do to help out at home? Take out the garbage. What else? Open, yeah, fill and empty the dishwasher. What else? Clean your room. Anything else? Take out the garbage. Shovel the snow. Scrub the floors. No, maybe you don't do that. But you all have a contribution to make. Because you are a responsible member of your family, you are beginning to take responsibility. What about school? Do you have responsibilities at school?
Homework.
Do your homework. What else? Work hard. Study hard. And do you take those seriously? Okay. I'm sure you try to. Do you have any responsibilities in church? What do you think? What are some responsibilities that you have in the church community?
Be respectful to God and everybody else around you.
Respect God and all the people around you. That's very good.
Don't talk too much,
but talk enough. That's right. What other responsibilities do you have in church? Sit up, sit down, kneel down. Very good. We call that Catholic calisthenics. Yes. Share in the position, liturgical positions of the worshiping community. And at home, what about personal prayer? You know, taking time to connect with Jesus one-on-one. That's also part of the responsibilities that you have, but it's a privilege as well. So you belong to this wonderful community, but because you're getting older now, you're beginning to be able to take responsibility. You are now responsible members of the church. And I know for a fact that I am a very responsible person. And do you know why I know that? because whenever anything goes wrong, they say Father Ray is responsible. But you're not responsible for everything. You're only responsible for yourself, but you're also responsible to be part of a community. And that's why it's really important to really receive the gift that God gives us by being in part of a community. And receiving gifts is an important thing. I'm going to put this down for a second. So we're going to use our imaginations today. Those of you who've seen this before, pardon me, but I think it's a metaphor that still works. Okay, what am I holding in my hand here? A telephone. Okay. We're going to use our imagination. This is my sort of ratty three-year-old Motorola, but it still serves the purpose, and I'm very grateful for it. We're going to use our imaginations. We're going to send some brand new, straight from the factory, iPhone 11, all the bells and whistles that you could imagine. And because I already have a phone, I don't need that iPhone 11, I'm going to say, here, I'm going to give this phone to Oscar. So what, if I handed you a brand new iPhone 11, what would you say?
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. When God offers us a gift, and the Holy Spirit that you're going to be receiving today is a special gift, the most appropriate thing for us to say first is thank you. We have to be thankful for the gifts of God. So Oscar, you're A1, 10 points for Oscar. Now, once you've said thank you for a gift, I'm sure this has happened to, you get a gift and then you sort of forget. Okay, so I'm going to take the gift from Oscar. I'm going to bring it over to Emma. Okay, brand new iPhone, still in the box. You've said thank you. What do you do next? What's that? You want to play with it. Good idea. Now, in order to do that, what would you have? So it's brand new, it's in the box. What's the first thing you'll have to do?
Take it out of the box.
Okay, so how do we take the gift of the Spirit out of the box? What's that?
Gently.
You don't want to drop it. It's fragile. Now, sometimes you receive a gift and you forget about it. Like, oh yeah, thank you. You put it in the back of the cupboard, you forget about it. That happened to me a couple of years ago. It was my 25th anniversary of ordination, and someone gave me this really nice box of those, those homemade chocolates. The ones that you're supposed to eat within a week or two and they go bad, and I found the box a year later, they weren't any good anymore. So sometimes we receive a gift and we forget about it. We put it in the cupboard or we put it under the, under something and we don't know that it's there. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are like that. They're given to you and they're given to you freely and you say thank you. But then you have to do something with it. You can't just forget about it. You've got to, as Emma said, open the box. Okay. We've opened the box, and I'm going to give the phone now to Matthew here. Okay, you've opened the box. What do you do next? You're going to look at it.
I admire its beauty.
Admire its beauty. This is very good. Okay, so you've admired its beauty, but of course, right now it's just this blank screen at this point. So,
I use it.
Okay, how are you going to use it?
I open the phone.
You're going to open the phone. And if you open the phone and try to turn it on, will anything happen right away?
Yes.
Okay. The symbol, very good. But in order to get that phone working, there's something that you have to do first before you can start setting it up. You have to charge it. Very good. So I'm gonna pass it over to here. Okay. So Emily, how do you charge a phone? You take a plug and you plug it into a into the wall, into the power supply. So you got to get the power into the phone. You got to get that power up to 100%. Okay, so if we're continuing our phone metaphor or for the Holy Spirit, how do we power up the Holy Spirit in our lives? What are some things that we can do so that we're working on full power with the Holy Spirit? You got to wait sometimes, yes. You want it to charge faster, but it takes time.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't use it while it's charging. You got to wait until it's done and be patient.
You got to be patient and wait till it's fully charged. Okay, so how do we charge up the Holy Spirit in our lives? What are some things that we can do to get the Holy Spirit moving in us? We can believe in what the church teaches us. We can
go to church.
We can go to church, receive the sacraments. We can, what else?
Pray.
We can pray. We can talk to God when we have a problem or talk to God just to thank Him. And we can also show kindness and good deeds to others. We also serve God and are cooperating with the Spirit when we do that. So that's great. So if you're doing all those things, and I think that's what you've been doing over these last few years, you're building up that power in your supply. So now you've got it plugged in, The phone's up to 100%. It's got fully charged, and I'm going to pass it on, let's say this time to Justin. Okay, you're next. Okay, so the phone's got 100% power. Can you use it yet?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Program it.
You're going to program it. Okay, how are you going to program it? Okay, you got to turn it on. It's on full power now. So you want to get some apps on there probably?
Yeah.
Okay, and you want to set up your email and set up all those things. Okay, in order to do that, what do you have to do? Does it just work automatically?
Put in a password.
You got to put in a password. Okay. S-P-I-R-I-T. No, no, sorry. Okay, and your password's in. But then don't you have to connect to something to get it to work?
The
internet. Okay, how do you get onto the internet? Do you need a code of some kind?
Yeah.
Okay, what do we call that?
A password.
Okay, you got to put the password in, but you got to connect to something. Someone said the Wi-Fi. Does Wi-Fi just appear magically in your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Now, yes. Okay, the Wi-Fi, but who provides the Wi-Fi? Who's paying for the Wi-Fi, perhaps more to the point? Mom and Dad, are they here? Now, does Wi-Fi just appear magically in your house? No, what do you have to do? You got to pay for it. Who are you paying for your Wi-Fi?
Video company.
Videotron, Bell, Rogers, whatever. So someone's providing the network. And that's the word I'm looking for. So you got to, in order for this to work properly, you have to connect to a network. So for those of you paying the bills, you know you're paying Videotron or Bell to provide you with an internet network. What is the network that the Holy Spirit works on? Network of love. That's a good answer. Wisdom, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those are all expressions of the network. But in order to be connected, where do we come to get connected to God and to the Holy Spirit? We come to?
Church.
We come to church. Very good. All these people around you, all the people around the world who are followers of Jesus and who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they're part of the network you belong to. And it's really important to stay connected to that network. And if the network is the church, and the church is important, I want you, because you're so smart, to spell for me the word church together. How do you spell the word church?
C-H.
U-R-C-H. If you imagine that written in front of us on the wall, a big sign or up on the screen, C-H, blank, blank, C-H, what is missing?
You are.
But are you? No, you're not. You're here. You are, you and all of us, you are at the center, at the heart of the church. And that means that if you are, we are, any of us isn't here, part of the community, then we're missing something. Every one of you who's here has a unique gift. God created you for a special purpose, and He has something great in mind for each of you. And that's not only a gift to you, it's a gift to the people all around you. It's a gift to your parents. It's a gift to your friends. It's a gift to the community, to the people that you study with. And you are a very gifted group of individuals. And we've talked a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of the gifts that you're wanting to receive today. What are some of those gifts that you've been asking and praying for? Courage. Wisdom. What else?
Knowledge.
Piety. Wisdom. Understanding.
Patience.
Right judgment. Happiness. Joy. You see, these are all signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and at work in you. And God has given each of you gifts and talents. But I know that you're very humble people, and you're not people who like to brag. So I think that you've showed us very much that you are ready for this sacrament and you're looking forward to receiving it. So I think we can give these young people a good hand of applause for all that they've shown us. And I'm going to ask them to be seated, but there's a person that's very important that's sitting next to you. What is that person? They are your
sponsors.
Do you think we should recognize the sponsors? Could all the sponsors please stand for a moment? So now, sponsors, I have a good news for you. I'm not going to ask you any complicated theological questions. I'm not going to ask you to name the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit in alphabetical order and the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit in reverse alphabetical order. But what I will ask you is to say that Part of your role as a sponsor is to help these young people to know and identify the gifts that God has given them. Because they're very humble, don't like to brag, they need to hear from you what are the gifts that you see in them. So when you look at this young person next to you, what are some of the gifts that you see at work in them? It could be traditional gifts of the Holy Spirit, but it can also be things like creativity and fun and passion or whatever it is that you see in them.
Humor.
He brings joy. Joy. Wonder. Courage. Kindness. Generosity.
Joy.
Creativity. Honesty. Wow. So we have some pretty amazing young people here, don't we? Now, sponsors, you have a very special role today. You've been chosen by these children and by their parents in order to continue the work of the Spirit in them, to help them name their gifts and to develop their gifts and to really live as followers of Jesus in the world. You've been chosen because in your own way, you're trying to do that. You are trying to live your faith. And we know that it's a very secular world that we live in. It's not always easy to be a person of faith in the world today. And these young people are going to need help and support to be able to do that, and good example and witness from you. Are you willing to continue to be good models of faith for these young people? Great. So do you think we should give our sponsors a big hand of applause? Okay. And the sponsors may be seated. Now, of course, the people who have brought you all the way to this day are the people who are sitting probably right next to them. Are there any parents and grandparents who are here today? Okay, could the parents and grandparents please stand? Parents and grandparents of the young people who are here. Wonderful. Many years ago, when the deacon or priest baptized your child, you were asked a very important question. They said to you, in asking to have your child baptized, you are accepting the responsibility to bring them up in the practice of the faith, to teach them to love God and to love their neighbor, and to live as members of the church. And then the priest asked, do you clearly understand what you are undertaking? And you said, yes. You probably didn't understand what that was going to entail, how much driving to and from church, how many events that would have to be planned and all that, but you said yes, and you meant it. And the proof that you meant it and that you still mean it is that you're here today. You're here today to celebrate this wonderful event of your children receiving and taking responsibility for that gift that you wanted to give them. So you've done a great job, and I congratulate you. And I have better news for you, is that your job is not over yet. The old joke is about confirmation being graduation from church, when in fact confirmation is a new stage of responsibility and participation in the church. And these young people are going to continue to need your example. They've gone through different programs of faith to become disciples, to place faith at the heart of their lives. And to the extent that you continue to do that in your own way, you will be showing them the way. They will continue to need your love and your support and your guidance to become the wonderful people God has created them to be, to develop their talents, to fulfill their vocations, and to be members of the church. So parents and grandparents, are you willing to continue to support these young people in their journey of faith? And I think we should give our parents and grandparents a good hand of applause as well. So please be seated. And finally, I'm going to address a word to the entire congregation. We celebrate today the Feast of Christ the King. We have just renewed in the receiving the gift of the holy water, our own baptism. When the children are being confirmed, I'm going to invite you also to renew your faith, your desire to participate in the life of the church. And so, dear brothers and sisters, all members of this community, are you willing to continue to live out the promises of your baptism and your confirmation? Are you willing to be a welcoming and faithful community here so that these young people may know that they belong to Jesus and to his church? Great. So this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we are blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is alive and well here at St. Ignatius, here in our church, and here in the world. So just before we go on, let's just take a moment to invoke the Holy Spirit and to ask the Holy Spirit to come into these children's hearts in a special way. I invite you to say this beautiful prayer after me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. And let us continue.